discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
The Philadelphia Eagles were steamrolling through their season schedule last fall. At 11-2 and with an MVP candidate as their quarterback, the Eagles were getting people talking. Maybe this year's Super Bowl could be the first in team history. But then, North Dakota's own Carson Wentz suffered a major injury, one that meant he was done for the season. As soon as the extent of the injury was known, national commentators said the Eagles were done. Without Wentz, maybe they'd stumble into a win in the playoffs, but the Super Bowl dream was dead. Backup quarterback Nick Foles had been here before. Earlier in the decade, he'd stepped up when starting quarterback Michael Vick suffered an injury, and he'd played beautifully. But after an excellent season with Philadelphia, Nick's play had deteriorated. Then came injury, and he started to question whether he really wanted to play this game anymore. But after talking to the people he trusted most, he decided to give football one last chance. And now he recaptured something with the Eagles. They couldn't lose. Not only did they not stumble when the playoffs began, they took down the Falcons. They beat back the Vikings and earned the right to take on the feared New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Here was Nick Foles, the man who 2 years before was pondering retirement, ready to run on the field in Minneapolis in the biggest game of his life. The man himself, author of the brand new book, Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds, goes on the road today and explains the feelings inside him on Super Bowl Sunday.
You know, there's really nothing you can do to, you know, describe it to do it justice. I mean, it's something that, like you said, kids dream about, I dreamed about as a kid. But you really don't know what it's like. The smells, the feel, the emotion, the sounds, the sight of something until you're actually in the moment and, you know, walking out of the tunnel and stepping into the stadium and just soaking it all in, seeing all the cameras everywhere, you know, facing the Patriots on the other side of the field. I mean, it's something that, you know, it's crazy to believe it happened, but it was a dream come true and I got to live it. And, you know, that's something I'll be able to, you know, cherish and reflect on and share with other people for the rest of my life.
Well, your story and that of your team was storybook in so many ways. You guys really seem to embrace the role of the underdog against this New England team that has really become the New York Yankees of the NFL to such an extent. I understand your just revealed Super Bowl rings even include a celebration of all that underdogs are. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we were the underdog. I mean, that's sort of, you know, Philly, you know, Philly's history is Philly has always been the underdog, sort of, you know, the chip on the shoulder that everyone wears and everyone waited so long. And, you know, that's what it was like throughout the offseason, throughout the season at the end. And on our Super Bowl rings inside it, there's a picture of the underdog mask to represent, you know, just the city of Philadelphia, Philadelphia fans, and, you know, just our team in general. It's pretty cool that they included that in our ring.
There were so many headlines. I mean, and the story just plays out in such an amazing way. I mean, Carson Wentz, who was your starting quarterback at the time, of course, gets hurt. This major injury, you come on in a situation you've been in before, but you see all of these headlines saying, you know, Nick Foles can save the city of Philadelphia. Can you even allow yourself to read and to be aware of those headlines? How do you deal with that? Or do you just try to tune it out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the latter, where, you know, you do your best to tune everything out because, you know, people are always going to say what they say, good or bad. That's great. You know, having the opportunity to, you know, share your thoughts is wonderful. But if you're the person that everyone's talking about, you know, what they say really can start clouding your judgment. It can start getting in your head. So you really just got to focus on what you control in your life. And that's your surroundings. That's your actions. That's your mindset and perspective and what you and doing things. And so I was really just trying to clear the clutters, how I say it, where I'm not really paying attention to that stuff and focusing on what I control, you know. And that's what I do inside the NovaCare facility where we practice, you know, how I prepare, you know, when I get home to my family, how I am. So I try to keep life as simple as possible in the chaos.
Oh, that's great advice to clear the clutter. It's very related to that. This question, you spend some quality time in the book taking us inside the mindset that a quarterback really has to have. And we see this on TV, but there's no way, I don't think, to really understand just how quickly your mind has to work in the game. I mean, when you take the snap, you have to read the field in front of you so fast to decide where you're throwing the ball. So when you say the game slows down, how on earth do you slow that process down when you're in the biggest game of your life?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to it than people really think. My dad was home, and I was just sort of explaining to him a glimpse of our game plan sheet and what I do pre-snap, post-snap, and, you know, all throughout the game. And he was just mind-boggled on, like, what I had to know, how we had to react. And just get to the point where you're comfortable with that. I mean, it takes time. It takes reps. It takes belief in your teammates. And I say that because you can't do it all alone. And sometimes I feel like we get into a place both physically and spiritually where we try to do things on our own and we don't have the power to. Like, the reason I love football is it's the greatest team sport. You have to depend on your teammates to do the right things, to make the right adjustments, to communicate with one another. And, you know, as a quarterback, you have to get to the point where you know the offense inside and out, you know the checks, you understand the defense you're playing. You understand why a play is called and why it's designed and why a coach is calling it versus a certain defense. And then you have to react. You have to adapt. You have to be able to play on the run, and you have to read and react. So what I just said is a ton of stuff. Like, describing what goes through a quarterback's mind, I could sit down for hours and try to explain it, but it's one of those things where I played for so long, it becomes second nature, but that we still have to work so hard every day just to get to the point where we're ready to step on the field to play in a game.
Wow, that's amazing. Thanks for that window. That's so cool to hear it from your perspective. We're talking with Nick Foles, plays quarterback for the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles, was the MVP of this year's Super Bowl as he's led his team to a victory over the mighty New England Patriots. Now he's out with his own account of his story in Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds from Tyndale Momentum. And because of the generosity of the folks at Tyndale, we do have two copies of Nick's book to give away. If you'd love a copy, you can enter the drawing just by heading to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, and you can send us a note right there from the page. Well, as you've already made clear, there's a lot more to you, Nick, than the man on the gridiron. It's no secret that your faith plays an enormous role in who you are. How did you find faith? Where does this come from for you, sir?
So I grew up, my mom is a Christian, you know, through her faith journey. My dad, you know, his faith battles, you know, continuing on. You know, he believes in God, he believes in Jesus. But, you know, it's been one of those things where his faith continued to grow. Even like all of us, but, you know, he has a crazy story himself. But for myself, I knew I had a relationship with God in high school, growing up, going to church, knowing who Jesus is. But I really didn't give my life to Christ until I was a freshman in college. There's a lot of things that happened in my life. I was at Michigan State, a long ways away from Texas. There's a lot of things that happened to allow me to end up there for that year. You know, just to summarize really quick, it was, you know, I basically got brought down to my knees in a sense of, you know, I lost my confidence in myself. My arm was, I just had my right shoulder totally repaired. So it was like 50, 60% strength, and I'm trying to recover. And, you know, I'm away from home. No one's from Texas. I'm adapting to something new. I'm in college. You know, then you're going through the crazy winter. And, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, I felt like a weight was lifted. You know, it was a relationship, I realized. And starting to read the Word of God, not really understanding the Old Testament and what I'm reading. But it was just something soothing. I really focused on, you know, Psalms and Proverbs at the time, and they were just so beautiful. And I just took little bits and pieces and just tried to, you know, implement them in my daily life. And then as I went around along my journey, God placed different people in my life to guide me, different mentors, whether it was my strength coach at the University of Arizona, being Coach Ed, who was amazing as a strength coach and unbelievable, you know, I like to say as a pastor, but, you know, he had Bible studies house every Thursday, to entering the NFL and, you know, being with our chaplain, Pastor Ted, Herb Bluss, Jason Avant. So there's always been people there to sharpen me, and my faith continued to grow to where I can mentor people as well. And, you know, that's it in a nutshell, talking to you right now, but, there's a lot more to me to me. There's a lot more to that. And a lot of it's in the book, Believe It, along with, a lot of other things. The great thing about the book is it doesn't matter your faith, who you are, if you know Jesus, if you don't, if you're curious, you're going to enjoy the book because I'm open and honest about, you know, the journey of my life and the trials and the ups and downs.
Well, and I think one of the reasons it's so fascinating and so relatable too, I mean, not many of us could understand what it's like to have the talent to be the MVP of the Super Bowl, right? But every one of us can understand success and failure. I mean, we live between those two poles every single day of our life, don't we? And you, the thing that's different though for you is that you experience this, the great days and the bad days, in front of millions of screaming fans, right? In the stadium and on ESPN. So
yeah.
What role does your faith play in keeping you grounded? Because you've had just such high highs in your career, and then you've had lows as well. How has faith helped you?
I mean, my faith in Christ is everything. You know, I think that just through the journey, it's the thing where, you know, we're always wondering, you know, when we're on the top of the mountain, you know, we're grateful to God, but then we sort of sometimes lose track of that, and then when things aren't going well, we're always like, well, God, why me, why us, why this? And you know, I think that was the whole message, was, you know, what I've looked back through my life and I've seen, you know, I look at the ups, look at the downs, I learned so much more through the trials, and that's what God does. I like to, you know, in layman's terms, trying to talk to the secular world and people don't quite know who God is, who Jesus is, I try to say, you know, if you're fortunate to have a father on this earth that really cared for you and loved you, he didn't always give you what you want. He didn't always say you were perfect. He loved you. He thought you're beautiful, but he probably taught you things. There's probably tough love at times. There's probably things he allowed you to go through to grow because he knew you needed it. And why would a heavenly father who loves you even more so allow you to go through it? So that's something that I like to share. So basically, my faith is everything. Like, when I can tell when I'm not in the Word, I'm not, you know, my prayer life hasn't been good. Maybe I haven't been journaling. You know, I feel like days are a little tougher. I go through more. I get a little more emotional. Stress starts getting at me. And I think we can all relate to that. And then I'll realize, like, man, I've really been distant from God. I haven't really had that strong relationship, even though I believe in him. I love him. I know what he's done in my life. But there's still times where I pull myself away because I forget and I try to do things in my own power. And we're all guilty of that. But, you know, you're at a much better place when, you know, you stay in the Word, prayer, and just, you know, trust God in all you do.
Oh, man. Well said, sir. Well said. Have you ever thought of doing some pastoring maybe after the football career?
You know, I'm in seminary right now in the off season.
Yes.
I started that after my year in Kansas City, you know, online through, right now it's through Liberty Online. My chaplain at Kansas City went there, so it was a, you know, great connection there. I was able to do a couple of classes after my year in Kansas City. This last year, because we were in the Super Bowl and the playoffs, I wasn't able to do my first semester. Just because we were in the playoffs, I would have missed, you know, that'd have been like 3 weeks into it.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like that was a pretty good excuse. I hate using excuses. And then the second reason was, we were blessed to have the opportunity to do this book. So that was took a lot of work from myself, my wife, Tyndale, Josh Cooley, the author, Carol Traver, who assisted, and just the entire team. So I'll continue next offseason, but you know, I would love to get more involved in the church, you know, help at the high school level, be a pastor at the high school level, like assistant pastor, just where I'm, you know, there to love on the kids and share in any way possible. But, you know, hopefully in the future I'll be able to do that.
Man, that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. I said that not having any idea that was the case, but that's so awesome to hear you doing that. Well done, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's very humbling too, like, you know, writing papers and studying the Word and diving deep. I mean, it's not easy. You know, because you know people are reading this, it's going to affect their life, and you want to be, you know, theologically correct and portray everything in accurate light. So, but it's a great challenge, and I've already seen a lot of growth.
Wow, amazing. Mr. Nick Foles is with us for a few more minutes. He plays quarterback for the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles and was the MVP of this year's Super Bowl as he led his team to victory over New England and the Patriots. The new book is called Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds, from Tyndale Momentum. And we do have two copies of the book to give away. If you're fascinated by the Super Bowl MVP, who also happens to be in seminary, well, hey, you can go to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, and send us a note right there saying, hey, I would love a copy of that book. So it feels almost ridiculous to say this now, but this is the truth. We're talking to the Super Bowl MVP, but just a couple of years ago, you're in a situation where you're thinking about retiring from the NFL. Tell us a little bit about what took you there and why you decided to give football one last chance.
Yeah, I think my career up in the point where, you know, after the season in St. Louis was sort of a crazy, you know, up and down ride. And I really enjoyed my time in Philadelphia. You know, unfortunately, after my first year, Andrew was fired, but, you know, enjoyed playing for Chip Kelly and his staff. You know, had a lot of success. And then I was traded to St. Louis, and, you know, I was trying to do everything I could to adapt and, you know, help the team win. And, you know, we had some great wins, but ultimately, you know, we didn't play well enough. I didn't play well enough personally, and ended up having a really rough year. You know, ended up getting benched, and it wasn't really the benching part. It's more just the enjoyment of football, like going to work every day. I'd really lost the joy of the game. And, you know, I really started questioning, like, man, if I feel this way when I step into the building, I'm going to work, like, I don't know if I can do it because, you know, I don't enjoy it. My heart's not in it. And to do something like football or anything in life, like, you really have to enjoy it, or it's just, you're going to dread it. You're going to want to look at the clock, and you're going to want the day to be over and go home. And you're almost wasting time. You're not really doing, you know, you're not really doing anything that juices you, that excites you. So I was having that struggle. And, you know, at that time I was like, you know what, I'm going to just pursue. I can't do this anymore. I can't pick up a football. It was a, you know, long 6-8 month process of really just pondering it after the season. And there was a time where, you know, finally I was released from the Rams and just had a lot of time to myself to really think, talking to my wife, and was able to get away and go on a camping and fly fishing trip, and, you know, got to get out in the wilderness without any football expectations and whatnot. And once I got back from it, you know, the reality of everything was setting in, and I sat down with my wife. We had some tough conversations, and I remember one where, you know, she's always been the most supportive. She's always been my biggest fan, but she knew I was facing something that was, you know, deeper inside me than I realized, that was really affecting me, that affected my judgment. And I was basically, you know, was struggling and having fear of playing football. And, you know, I said a prayer just for guidance from God. And I've said it a thousand times in this situation, but this was one of the first times where I felt a sense of peace, and really just, you know, he was saying, you know, just trust me and all you do, glorify me and don't forget about me. And, you know, I realized at that point that the thing that would take more faith would be to go back and play football, because it's quite frankly the thing I didn't want to do. I knew I had a love for football my entire life, and I had lost it. And I knew that if anyone could restore it and I could use that platform to glorify him, it would be God. And, you know, I called Andy Reid. I had already had previous conversations with him, always had a great relationship and all the respect and will for him. And, you know, just said that I'm going to give this one more shot. I'm going to play for you. You're the only coach I want to play for in this time, in this situation. And, you know, eventually I reported to Kansas City, training camp. My wife was shocked when I told her. And, you know, the fourth day of training camp, after when I was, you know, reading the Bible and journaling, the joy of the game started coming back, and I really started enjoying everything about it again, but sort of in a different light. And, you know, the game, you know, in my perspective now, has changed because of those moments. It was one of those pinnacle moments in my life that I look at as, like, there was a lot of growth, but it was a trial.
Wow, what a story. What a story. And honestly, how much more do we enjoy just the blessing of your success now, knowing where you have been? Nick Foles, the Philadelphia Eagles, the MVP this year's Super Bowl, the book Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds from Tyndale, available now wherever fine books are sold. What an honor to get to know you a little bit, sir. It was just a blast talking with you, and the very best to you in the upcoming season, sir.
Hey, I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank y'all for having me on. It's my honor as well.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I got no excuse. Broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness.
shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. The wall won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus, I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah! Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart. My giants with confidence.
You're tuned to Faith Radio's On the Road. Ryan Thomas with you. How much fun was it to have that conversation with Nick Foles, the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles? I think no matter what team you cheer for during the NFL season, pretty tough not to be a fan of that guy. How many athletes are that vulnerable to admit that they came to a place where they questioned everything, their ability, their confidence, and they were able to find that confidence refreshed in who God is. And also, if you notice in there, there was the moment where I teased him by saying, hey, have you ever thought about becoming a pastor? And he says, oh, you know, actually, I'm in seminary right now in the off season. So what a cool guy. We want to let you know there's so many more opportunities with Faith Radio, being part of the Faith Radio listening family, that are not even just on the radio. And one of those opportunities is coming up very soon, July 13th and 14th. The Northwestern Christian Writers Conference is coming up. And you might be thinking, well, okay, July 13th and 14th, that's pretty soon. Is there still time to be involved? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. There's one more week to register for the Northwestern Writers Conference. And so if you're interested, if you've ever, maybe somebody's told you before, hey, you really put words together well. Have you ever thought about being a writer? Well, if you have, if you've ever had that thought, then heading to myfaithradio.com to learn more doesn't cost you anything. And it will give you more wisdom to learn more about the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. And speaking about ways to connect with us beyond the traditional radio and microphone relationship, there is maybe no more powerful way to do this than with podcasts. If you head to myfaithradio.com, there's a podcast button right at the top of the page. And what podcasting allows you to do, first of all, if you're just hanging out on your computer, maybe at work, and you have the opportunity to be listening to something while you're working, shows like On the Road, we have every show that we've ever done right there available to listen right online. Another cool part of podcasts, you can actually subscribe to a podcast, whether it's On the Road, whether it's Bill Arnold, whether it's Carmen LaBerge, and then you can be using iTunes or another podcasting program. You can be notified right when a new episode is produced. So it's amazing technology. Just look for podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Well, we just can't say thank you enough for listening this week. God bless you, and hope that the week ahead is full of inspiration, encouragement, and the reminder that God is with you on the good days and the not so great days. Until next time, Ryan Thomas for Faith Radio. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.